Hi, everyone, and welcome to Every Child Can Learn. And I'm excited to welcome the show again, my co-host and host, Phil Maycomer. Phil, how are you?
Oh, I just had a wonderful day mentoring and coaching classroom teachers, and I'm very excited for the topic of our episode.
Fantastic. I'm excited about it. We always start off with a question. How do you build a strong school culture and climate for both students and staff?
Well, Neil, I think that we should start by defining school culture and climate, because it is at the heart of any school. Now, in my mind, school culture is the way teachers and other staff members work together, forming what I would refer to as a shared belief system, along with a set of shared values and expectations. And it is evident in how the school operates. Now, for me, the school climate is the feel of the school, the vibe. Both school culture and school climate are the ways you do school. And this is important not only for our students, but also for staff as well. And I will tell you that our guest in this episode of Every Child Can Learn, Principal Lori Stevens, is a master of how to do school. Our listeners will learn a great deal from Lori of how to build a strong school culture and school climate. So, Neil, how about I tell our listeners a bit about Lori?
Sure, go ahead.
So, Lori Stevens began her career in 2006 as a classroom teacher and now serves in educational leadership as an elementary school principal. Lori works side by side with each of her teachers throughout the school day to ensure that she leads from within and not above. And I've seen this firsthand because I am welcome in her school with open arms. This approach has earned her a great deal of respect from the educational staff in her building, along with her fellow administrators in her district. Lori empowers her teachers to be the best they can be, while at the same time honoring their unique differences, consistently reminding them that effective schools have effective leaders. And she is tireless in her efforts to provide children multiple ways to express their newfound knowledge and create a positive experience in learning, one in which they're so excited, which is beneficial to the student, family, and school. You should know that Lori is an active participant in a multi-year strategic planning team with me and her director of student support services. I think so highly of her work, vision, and leadership skills that I asked her to be a contributing author to my second book, Every Child Can Learn, Your Roadmap to Inclusive Education, which was published in March of 2021. You will so enjoy reading her chapter. Welcome, Lori.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Neil. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it is our true pleasure. And this will be quite a treat for our listeners today, because like I mentioned, I have seen firsthand how you lead and empower others. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your school, just to start with, and where you're located, and then we can get started with our question and answer.
Okay. Well, I am at Emerson School in Fitzwilliam, New Hampshire, and we are a pre-K through sixth grade school here. And I have actually been at Emerson for 16 years. So I started here as a classroom teacher and then moved up the ladder and became principal 4 years ago. And our school is full of amazing educators, amazing paras, and we love to just work together and come to work each day.
Now, was it always that strong?
Definitely not.
Not a surprise answer.
Yes. When I came on as principal 4 years ago, I walked into kind of a big mess. And I was thinking to myself, we definitely have to do something about this.
Now, What did you see the problems being?
Well, the first thing I had noticed was that we did not work together as a staff. And if we're not working together as a staff, that is going to trickle down to our students. So I knew that right away, I had to get the staff to feel comfortable, to feel like we were a team, that we weren't just working behind closed doors. And I did recognize that was going to be a pretty big task to take on.
Yeah, and that is a big problem to solve. And so I'm sure that you had lots of brainstorming ideas as to how to begin this, but what was your first step in trying to solve this problem?
So first I had to realize myself that I was not going to fix this overnight. And that was really hard because I wanted everything to happen right away. But yep. I knew that this is a real life situation and we're not going to solve it overnight. It was going to be a multi-year plan. And we had to start with the staff and then trickle down to the students. And so my first step was sitting down with the staff. And this was really difficult, but we sat down all together in a circle in the multi-purpose room. And I had actually asked the director of curriculum at the time to come with me because I just needed some support there for myself as well. But I wanted all of the staff to just get everything out, everything that had been bothering them, everything that was holding them back from us being the best school that we could be. And so it was a hard conversation. People shared things about one another. They shared things about our students, about the staff, about me. And so it just gave everyone though this freedom to share without judgment. And after we had this circle and everybody got everything off their chest, I said, that's where we stop. We are done now. You got everything out and we are going to now move forward. We're not going to hold on to these things. They're in the past now. It's time for us to now take the next step forward.
You know, this, as you said, must have been a hard conversation. And I'm sure there were many tears and people were probably feeling it was intense, but the outcome of this is, you're right, you aired the laundry, right?
Yes.
And, you know, that is cathartic in itself. People feeling heard, people adding value and being valued, and also being able to communicate with each other in such an honest forum. And I think it's wonderful that you were able to really do that. And also very smart to have support there for yourself too, Lori, because that's Absolutely. Not an easy step, right?
Right. It's not. And I felt like having that person there with me would help me to stay strong because it's not easy to hear all of these things and to not be overwhelmed. So I think it was definitely very helpful for me.
What were some of the things you heard?
So I heard that we don't work as a team. Mm-hmm. I heard that our students are out of control. There is no leadership currently. I heard that people talk about each other behind their backs and that people don't work together. They just go into their rooms and shut their doors and that's what they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. It wasn't always that strong. And you know, as you're describing this, because I kind of stepped into the building when you were at a different point in the road trip here, Lori,
yes.
Because that is not the feel of your school now.
Not
so
at all.
How did you move past that? Like what came next?
So next, I sent out a survey to all of the staff after we had that, and I asked them for specifics that they needed from the principal. And the reason I did that is we had a high turnover for principalships, and we had 5 different principals within 6 years. And so I know that leadership comes from within, and I needed to be strong for them. So I asked for feedback from them. They gave me really honest feedback. They wanted me to be visible in the classrooms. They wanted me to listen to them. They wanted to be able to approach me and feel like they could talk to me and not have me judging them. So that was the first step, and that went really well. I was really appreciative of all of the answers and feedback I got.
And then, if I could just insert that, sure. Very brave of you, right? Because that's not always easy to get that type of feedback, even though you hadn't hit the ground running yet. But it's nice to be able to say, I can't solve problems if I don't know what the problems are, right? And that is really what you focused on. I want to do just a shout out to Neil, because not only has does he have six children who are in school, but he also has been in the field of education. And, you know, Neil, when you either walked into a building that you worked at or walk into one of the buildings your child attends, you can feel the vibe, can't you?
Oh, there's a definite vibe if it's a school of a community that's open to the parents or the teachers that, or if I was a substitute teacher or taught in the building versus buildings that you just did not want to walk into. You knew the teachers weren't happy there. You knew that the principal was not really happy there. And it's cold. And you see it specifically in buildings, from a high school building to a middle school to elementary, but there's no real rule. You just really can just tell based on the building. And as an educational advocate as well in my career, I would go into buildings, I'm like, this is really a cold building. This really not inviting. While other places, that it was very, very inviting. So you can really see those differences.
Yeah. And that's a great word, Neil, inviting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that all comes from what you and I in previous episodes, Neil, have discussed about establishing rapport and establishing trust. So, Lori, how did you start to gain trust from your staff in your new leadership role at that time?
So I decided that we needed to have some fun together. We needed to let loose. We needed to...
I love it.
Yeah, we needed to get to know each other and really trust each other and see that there's more to us than just, you know, that we're teachers, we're paras, we're special educators. And so I started to plan different activities, and such as I got piñatas, and I had asked for Halloween. Everybody got to hit the piñata. I had a couple of different ones hanging in the multipurpose room. I had goodie bags for them to take the candy after. And there was a special prize in each one too, that was attached to a piece of candy. That was a free recess duty that I would cover. So people got really excited, and they were going through and, you know, just laughing with one another and having fun, which really, you know, we had to break down those walls. So I did that. I also started to just bring in, I have this cart that I absolutely love, and I fill it with food. I do special drinks sometimes. I just do different things, and I walk around and I give it to the staff, and I want them to know how much they're appreciated. And so we've had pizza parties. We go on walks together. We just, any point that I can get them to let go of school for a little bit and just be themselves, I try to. And so we still do this now, 4 years later. We definitely get together for Christmas events. We get together at the end of the year, but throughout the school year, we do potlucks. We do a soup Friday, a salad bar Monday, just different things where we can all get together and enjoy each other's company. So that was my next step. And it went over very well, luckily.
Well, you know, I'm sure it went over well. One, because you showed your staff that they are valued. You showed them that this is more than about work. This is about building, to use Neil's term, a community, right? Yes. That you were building a community. And what goes through that focus funnel is culture and climate, right? Yes. And these are wonderful steps for any administrator who's listening to this podcast to then be able to replicate, because the reality is it's so simple to replicate, right? And it all goes for kindness. And, mm-hmm. you know, today happens to be International Kindness Day on the
yes.
when we're recording. So not by coincidence, right? And I just think that it's wonderful that staff are not only being heard, but they're also building stronger relationships with each other, not just with you, right?
Yes. Yep, absolutely. I think that the working together piece was the next step. And so the way that I did that, after I had their trust and they were starting to really, you know, come out of their shells a little bit, I decided that I don't need to be in charge of everything. I am the principal of the building, but the previous principal had, you know, was in charge of all of the different committees that we had within the school. And I thought to myself, I have some amazing educators here. They will do a much better job running these than I will, because I already have enough on my plate. And so I started to scout out who would be really good at, you know, being in charge of our wellness team. We have a behavioral team that I put somebody in charge of. And so once I gave these roles out to the staff, I found that then they were going to their colleagues and getting them interested and getting them involved. And so then it's not this top-down model where I'm telling everybody, this is what we're doing for consequences for behaviors. This is, you know, what we're doing for wellness committee. This is our safety team. So it just really brought this whole new dynamic to our school, because then the staff are feeling really empowered because they are in charge of these committees and I'm a part of all of them. But they're the ones going to their colleagues and sharing out. And I just think that was amazing for them.
And that is a perfect example of leading from within and not from above, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I also know, I remember one of the first times I went into your school and I was setting up just as like Phil Central, like, where am I going to work out of? And I happened to be that particular first day in your staff room. And when I walked in there, and I'm Italian, as you know, and it's like all about the food, and food is social and everything happens around the table. I walked into like this cafe. It wasn't a traditional staff room. Can you just describe what you did with your staff lunchroom as an experience over?
Yeah. So that was the first few years that I was here. Each year I did a summer project that was my gift to the staff. And so the first summer that I was principal, I decided with my admin assistant's help, thankfully I had her beside me the whole way, we painted the staff lunchroom because it was this, you know, just plain white color and it wasn't very inviting. It had these four long tables in there and that was it. And so I ordered new tables, which are cafe style tables, and we have four of them in there. We painted the walls. We got a small TV to put in there. I asked our PTCO, which is our parent community organization, if they would buy us a coffee kind of bar that we already had a Keurig, but I thought, you know, it'd be nice to put the coffee station up there, you know, on this nice little bar. And so we just decorated it and made it incredibly welcoming. And when the staff came in at the end of the summer and we did like a big reveal for it, they were just so grateful and people started eating together again because when the room was just not very welcoming and it had honestly become this place where people just went to complain, a lot of people started eating in their own rooms. So then when we created this place that felt inviting and warm, people started going there and they started laughing and talking and not just about negative things. So it was really, really positive.
I always felt welcome there. And I was a person that was there once or twice a month. And it's the vibe of the school and the vibe of the room. And so it was nicely done, my friend. Very nice.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, do you ever meet with staff individually?
Yes. So that year I also started. So since we started this at the beginning of the year, after January-ish, I set up meetings with everybody one-on-one and I asked them to just come and meet with me and just talk about how things were going, what I could do to help them. If there's anything that they're struggling with, this was for paras and certified staff. And it was really great because it just gave them a chance to be with me one-on-one. No pressure. Like, we just sat in the office at the table together. And it really gave me a lot of great feedback. So then I did that towards the end of the year as well. And I think that what staff told me was that it just gave them this reassurance that it wasn't this one-time thing, that I wasn't just going to, you know, pretend at the beginning that I was all there for them and then just let it all go. I continued to meet with them.
Yep.
And I think it's really important because I wanted to know from each of them, even little things such as, where would you like to be next year? Do you see yourself staying in the same grade level? Do you see yourself moving to a different grade level? And especially for paras, I think that's really important to just be heard, because oftentimes with our paras, we just put them wherever, you know, we need them. And that's not always the best for them. So I think it was really important to have that one-on-one time with them to just talk and reflect. And we also just talked about their home lives and what's going on with their kids. And it's just a really special time to have with the staff.
And especially with where things currently are at in education, it's even more pressing to be able to have that human connection to know what's going on outside of school. Because there's lots of challenges going on right now.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we've talked a lot about what you've done for the staff. How do you help your kids?
So that was our next step. So, you know, I got the staff going, we were feeling really good. And so we decided that we needed to make our school a little more welcoming for kids. If we want the kids to be here and be excited, we need to make it a place that they want to be. So all of the staff, they painted every room in the entire school. I picked three colors. I know, they're amazing. I picked three different colors. We have blue, green, and yellow. And they painted every room, including bathrooms. And they made this space just look, we also ordered decals and put them up around the school in different areas. And I always like to do a challenge with the staff at the beginning of the year on one of our first PD days together. And so I had ordered a bunch of decals and paints and different things, and I put them on teams, and I had them each assigned to a different children's bathroom that has multiple stalls. And so they had to go in there and they had to come up with a theme for the bathrooms, and they had to paint, and they had to put all the decals up, and they made really great sayings for kids in there. And so we made this school a place where when you walk in, you want to be here. It's very welcoming. It's very positive. You can look around and there's sayings everywhere, but it's not overstimulating, because there is a balance there. You can't get too crazy where then it's like overwhelming for kids. So we definitely have a perfect balance here. And that was our first start, was creating a place where the children want to be.
And Lori, because I've been in your building, I could say that the visuals that you all as a staff have spent time on are what I would call anchor visuals.
Yes.
They really anchor the kids in a positive growth mindset. Now, I know that you as a staff have come up with a set of expectations, right, mm-hmm. for students, and you call them SOAR. Could you explain what that stands for?
Sure. So that was kind of our next step. We did recognize we had some behaviors that were going on in our school. And so we came up with SOAR, because we're the Emerson Eagles and we SOAR. So they stand for, the S stands for show responsibility. The O is own your community. The A is always persevere. And the R is respect yourself and others. And so we had decided as a team that these were areas that we really wanted to focus on with our students and with ourselves. And so we started to integrate this into every part of our day. And we started with our preschoolers. It looks a little different with preschool versus sixth grade, but we felt like having a common language and common expectations, it might take us a couple of years, but that would be so important for our school to be on a level where we're all, you know, we can see a student in the hall, and if they're wearing a hat, we all have the same language with them. And it's just really important for us to have that. So it has been great to have our SOAR expectations, and we just keep upping them each year, which has been amazing, upping what we're doing with them.
I was going to ask you that, Lori. Do they remain constant or do they have growth?
Well, they do have growth, especially during COVID. You know, we had to change some of our expectations. We had to add things that we never would have thought we would have to add. And so it is a chart that we definitely, it's a working chart, and we're able to change them as we need. But those core standards of responsibility, community, perseverance, and respect are always there, and they're embedded in everything that we do at Emerson.
Wonderful. So as we're starting to wrap up here, Could you just, in two or three sentences, sum up where you're at right now? Because you started this 4 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah, where are you at now?
So we are kind of in our maintenance stage now, I would say, where we are continuing to grow. And we are now seeing what else we can do for our students, especially because of COVID and how things have changed. We've kind of had to step back a little and recognize what they need. And so we've moved on something I'm really excited about. We've created tree houses at our school.
What are those?
This is a little more than two or three sentences, Phil, but I'm too excited.
I'm going to let you have the time because okay. I think you should explain, you know, in a concise way,
yes,
what tree houses are.
Absolutely. So these tree houses, we have maple, oak, willow, and spruce trees. And at the beginning of the year, each student spun a wheel and they were placed in a house. So it's kind of like the sorting hat from Harry Potter.
And oh, yeah.
All mixed up all the way pre-K to six, all mixed up. All of the staff are mixed up. And so once a month we meet with our tree houses and we talk about these areas that our expectations, our SOAR expectations. And so, for example, when we did Own Our Community, we went out, all of the tree houses went on their own separate walks. They cleaned up around our school. We hiked Rhododendron Park, which is right down the road from us. And so we're owning our community by showing them that we're cleaning up after them. And so these tree houses have just been a great way for teachers to get to know all children and not just those kids in their specific grade level. And it also allows our kids to really get to know our whole school community and not just those students at their grade level. So this is something that's continuing to grow and I'm super excited about it.
Well, I love the concept of the tree houses because it's bringing kids together across grade level. It's bringing teachers, like you said, to know all the kids in the school, right? Not just the kids in their grades.
Yes.
And it's a way to work together and make a difference in your community. So I just, my hat is off to you, my friend. It's so exciting being a part of your school culture and climate. And I'm really looking forward as we move forward in our strategic planning to see what will be coming next. And I would look forward to having you on at a later time to do another report in about more advice that you could give other administrators so they could follow your journey.
I would love that.
So you can find more information out about Every Child Can Learn, Your Roadmap to Inclusive Education on Amazon or on my website at aboutthepact.com. That's about, A-B-O-U-T, the, T-H-E, pact, P-A-C-T.com, aboutthepact.com. And Neil, it was a very informative conversation today. And I think that not only administrators, but also teachers listening to this could go back to their schools and say, wow, look at what's happening in this building.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a great thing, especially with the challenges that you guys as frontline workers deal with every day. I think that finding a principal success of building a learning environment for the teachers, the parents, and students is a fantastic thing. And Lori, thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you so much, Neil. Thank you, Phil.
All right.
Well, you're very welcome. And I think it's fair to say, Neil, that Lori Stevens does school well.
Yes, she does. And it's a great episode of Every Child Can Learn, guys. Take care.